Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where we focus on passive income, creating passive income, cash flow, for the purposes of creating legacy wealth for you and your family. And the vehicle by which we do that is real estate. So we are all about cash flow here on the show. And in your journey of getting cash flow and creating passive income, you're going to suffer defeats. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have things, roadblocks that get in your way. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show.
That's right. So I felt like it's only fair, since so many times if you've listened to this podcast, I'm asking Clayton, should we talk about how much we spent on this, or should we talk about how much we have for this? And, you know, I'm always sensitive to making sure that we're transparent about our journey. And that's the point of this podcast, is to help people see a husband and wife team that's figuring it out day by day. And we talk about our wins a lot. And I think it's only fair that we also talk about some of the bumps in the road, so that you know that it really is a long journey, that this idea of creating family wealth, and the saying goes, is really true. You win some, you lose some, right?
Yeah. And I've certainly lost a few. So let's talk about some of the setbacks. Today's all about bouncing back from a setback. Some people see setbacks and they literally never get back into the pool. And I'm so heartened by, literally in the past week or two, I've received a few emails from a couple of our clients and buyers who've written us saying, a few years ago, I got really burned in real estate. Years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. I did this, this, and this, and I'm ready to take the plunge again. Can you help me? And I've loved seeing those emails, because what that shows is resiliency and realizing that, yes, real estate is perhaps the number one way to build wealth. However, I did something wrong, or I didn't cross a T, I didn't dot an I, or the market just got the better of me a number of years ago. So for me, I've suffered some big losses. I've suffered some major setbacks when I got started in real estate investing, some of which I've talked about here on the show before, but let's start with one of them. I ended up having two properties in Florida, and I lived in a one-bedroom condo. It was my first house I ever bought, and I ended up living in it and rehabbing it while I lived in it, and I lived there for like 2 years. Next door, there was a property that came available. It was a two-bedroom. A woman had passed away. Her family wanted to sell it sort of off market because it needed a ton of work. She had smoked for 30 years. It needed a total overhaul, and it was not going to sell well on the open market. So when people wonder a lot, you know, well, who would sell a property off market? This is exactly who would sell it. They inherited this property. They didn't want to deal with it, and they didn't want to have to fix it up themselves. So I made them an offer. They agreed. I bought it, and I spent the next month rehabbing it myself, doing drywall and spackling and putting in new cabinets and putting in new appliances and putting in new carpet and paint. And I had to scrub all this old nicotine off the walls. I mean, it was brutal, but I did it, and I ended up selling it right before the crash. And I made a good chunk of money. I think I made, I don't know, in the profits of these small condos, I made like 60,000.
Right. And you were a single dude back then. So you were doing everything yourself. So that seemed, that's a great win.
Right. So in my stupid fashion, though, it was hard for me to sort of, you know, because I grew up with these fears around money, I ended up sitting on this money for a little bit, and then decided a buddy of mine had come to me and said, hey, there's a project in North Carolina It's a Phil Mickelson golf course. They're building this whole community. It's going to be in multiple phases. And basically, you'll pay for the construction of the property, this really like a log cabin style. And it'll be sort of drawn out over multiple phases. And hey, everything's burning and churning. This is a great time. The economy's booming. You know, the housing market's going up. You could buy this house and literally flip it 6 months later for twice what you put into it. And no one saw what was about to happen, right? The market was about to tank, and all of these sort of artificially appraised properties, you know, Phil Mickelson golf course in North Carolina, luxury, you know, the A-class neighborhoods ended up getting the hurt the most, right?
It was a pipe dream.
Yeah, it was a total pipe dream. And so I ended up saying, sure, and I put in like $30,000 of the money that I had just made. Well, wouldn't you know it, then, of course, the contractors, the builders all backed out. The whole thing collapsed. Phil Mickelson even pulled out of the thing. And so
not Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
So say it isn't so.
So I ended up owning, do you recall what happened with this piece of property? I ended up having this piece of property and
that you had paid a huge inflated price for that no house was about to be built on.
Right.
And your intention was that there'd be a house there and either you'd sell it to someone who actually wanted to live there or rent it.
So I also got a loan for the construction of the property, the house, right? So I got a construction loan with the company that went belly up, but then they wanted their money. So I got this loan, but then they want to come back and get their money. And yet I've paid into this property of $30,000 when the plot of land was probably, it was in the forest. I mean, it was probably worth $4,000. You know, if anybody knows anything about land, plots of land, that they're, you know, they're usually pretty cheap. So $4,000 maybe at most, you know, and I ended up being on the hook for this. Well, this was, I think, the morning, this was one of the properties that I ended up then having to go through a foreclosure on. And this is what, I mean, I ended up going through this foreclosure and ended up having to reach a settlement. The lawyers had to go back and forth. I mean, it was a whole crazy time. And I ended up settling for, even though I had already paid 30, they still wanted, with the loan, the outstanding $110,000 loan, I still had to settle on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a huge, to me, it felt like it was all my fault. Like there was this albatross around my neck for years that anytime the mail would come, I'd go out to the mailbox.
With like a butterflies in your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember when we would go, it was like, oh, what's it going to be? I almost enjoyed Sundays when the mail wouldn't come.
Right. And if he saw a number on his phone calling that he didn't recognize, he would send it straight to voicemail and get this sort of like, what's the stress chemical? I always forget. Is it oxytocin or is that the relaxing one?
I don't know.
You'd get like a flood of that stress chemical in your body. Like, ugh, you know, you know, the saying business is not personal. I don't necessarily believe that. I think everything we do is personal, right? And so, but this you took too personal. You can take business too personally. And it's not like your intentions were to make a lot of quick money and do nothing and, you know, then, I don't know, be a jerk like the Monopoly guy. I don't know. Like, you know, your intentions were just to invest and make money and your intentions were in the right place. It wasn't your fault. And so I think too often you see someone suffer a loss like that and really just beat themselves into, you know, a pulp. I used to joke that if you've seen the movie Angels and Demons, there was that eunuch that would go in the closet and beat the crap out of themselves.
Right, Dan Brown novel.
Right. With, what was it? Like something sharp, like a belt with nails or something, would just go into the closet and beat themselves because of it was like a Christian rite of passage or something. Like that was Clayton emotionally. He would just do this to himself emotionally. It was a really sad thing to watch. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to do this podcast was because another one of those investments we had been for years sort of working with the lender. The loan was sold to another lender. And just this week, the lawyer said, well, you know, they're willing to settle for this much. And we do want to settle it. We don't want to run from it. But I could see the tendency in your face, like, okay, I'm going to go in the closet and beat the crap out of myself again. And so I just wanted to put it out there that, you know, hopefully you have someone in your life, like wonderful me, who says, mm-hmm. honey, it's okay. No, but you do need someone in your life who says, it's all right, bounce back from this, keep going. I mean, look at all of the loss that our president has suffered. And the dude still had the courage to run for president. So it's okay, really. You can continue to build.
Right. And so this week we ended up having, it was a separate property. It was actually my primary residence in Florida, that ended up, it was high, it was artificially inflated appraisals. You know, that's why, I mean, we're in a weird time right now with appraisals, but back then it was crazy. I mean, realtors could basically just like get a good appraiser in their pocket, you know, and they'd say, I'm going to hire you from now on. Give me an overinflated appraisal. And that's the type of appraisers they were getting. So one week you could literally buy a property for $230,000 and sell it 2 weeks later for $250,000. That's what was happening. And so I ended up buying at the height of the market, a primary residence, 3-bedroom, 1-bath. And I ended up having to walk away from the property. So I ended up walking away from the property. And because the loan, we tried to work on a short sale with a lender and they agreed to it. But then the other department at the bank didn't know that the other department had agreed to work and switch things up and lower the value of the property in order for us, you know, to make the payments. So what ended up happening? The other department didn't tell the other department and they sold it at sheriff's sale.
But what's the movie we just watched, The Big Short?
Yeah.
You'll see if you watch that movie that down in Florida during this time, the banks were a mess. They were a flipping mess. So one hand didn't know what the other was doing. And, you know, the bank wants to get paid. So they're going to go out of their way to try to get paid. And, you know, so the way this works is that there's a loan, right? They've given you some money to purchase this property and you have said, I'm going to pay this back. When it becomes apparent that you can't or won't, well, then what's going to happen is that they're going to figure out a way to get their money back either by selling it at a tax auction or going to you and saying, what can you afford and to pay me right now? And what can you afford to pay back eventually? Well, this was Clayton's intention, was to come and say, okay, let's work out this loan because clearly the property's not worth this much. I don't have it. What can we do? So then there's a negotiation that takes place. And while that negotiation was taking place, then the other arm of the bank went and sold it at a tax auction. So then he's on the line for this loan and they don't have incentive to work with him any longer. So now, again, he feels like a total jerk head, right? And then there's no recourse. So it has to go to court. So this was something that was a stain on our record for a long time because it was around the time when we got married and we were trying to buy a house to live in with our family. And so it was hard for us to qualify for loans to live for the homes that we lived in. And it became, you know, in hindsight, I was glad we had this challenge because it really forced us to learn about real estate.
Yeah. And passive income. And so passive income. I literally, there are no mistakes because of the wealth that we've created now and the passive income that we've created and the financial freedom, it all came as a result of this, I guess is the point, is that...
Right. We wouldn't have forced ourselves to learn about buying turnkey property for cash.
Well, not even buying turnkey because we don't buy... We do all the rehab. So, but buying properties where we... You know, in a C-class neighborhood.
Or owning properties.
Yeah, owning properties that are cash flowing.
Stop
cash
correcting
flowing.
Me, Clayton.
Well, we didn't buy turnkey properties. We are a turnkey provider. So we did all the work.
Nuance. Anyway.
It's not nuance.
It's our business.
I have a contracting team that I pay and work on with. So yeah, but we would buy it to understand that. And then we had to do it with cash. We couldn't like go to a bank.
Right.
We couldn't get loans. And of course, no banks were lending. So as a result of all of that, like we ended up having to buy properties, do all the work, build a team, spend years working on it and putting all of these things in place. And I couldn't do it with any help from the bank because of this stain on my record, this albatross of this foreclosure and this deficiency judgment, all of this stuff. And that's only one of these pieces. Because then I ended up having that separate deficiency judgment from that other property in Florida that ended up coming, same scenario, same project, same being built up with a construction plan and the whole thing. And then the whole thing goes belly up. And so, you know, when I had that $60,000, I put like $30,000 of it in North Carolina. And then I put the other, like I put another 15 to 20 into this other project in Fort Myers, Florida. And the thing went belly up. Mm-hmm. And like same thing, the builders backed out. And then I was on the hook for the construction loan again. And then was trying to work with the bank, but they fled town. The bank even folded. I mean, it was like, and they sold the note.
Right.
And then it was a disaster. And so I woke up one morning to see all of my accounts frozen. And any assets that I had frozen. It was a negative number in my account. It was a red. I remember, never forget it. I opened my bank. I was like, why couldn't I get coffee this morning? My card wouldn't work. And I was in the city, in New York City, and I went downstairs to buy a coffee and like a breakfast sandwich. And my card wouldn't work. And I went up to my bank site to look at it. I'm like, what's going on here? And they were all red. The numbers were negative and they were all red. And it said, please call your bank. There's your assets are frozen. And I literally almost had a heart attack.
Poor Clayton. This was a really sad time for him. And I hear this story. I've heard it many times. And I just want to scoop him up and say, it's okay, you know, because things like this happen to everybody.
But it was like a triumvirate. It was these three things at that same time that I had done, right? I bought this primary property that I was living in Florida and that I sort of invested in these two speculative land projects, you know, and that's why I will never invest in speculative projects again, things that don't exist, but only exist on paper. And that's what drove you and me to start investing in actual real estate that actually produces cash flow, that has tenants living in the properties, and that makes our net worth grow. And where we can see legacy wealth being built up month after month after month.
So what are some takeaways that we can leave our friends with? Because, well, number one, yes, you're not going to invest in speculative real estate anymore, but it's not like you hadn't done your homework on the other properties. It's not like a lot of it wasn't your fault. So obviously you do your homework, you prepare and learn as much as you can. And what you did after that is listen to podcasts ad nauseum about how to invest in real estate. And you learned from so many great people who were willing to share their knowledge with you, with other families. And, you know, obviously we want people to realize that there may be a reason for why you're learning these lessons, because we forced ourselves to really go up and over that brick wall because it was like a huge brick wall for us. And when we got married, I didn't feel like, oh, well, these were things that he had done and he'll get over that. You know, really, like, I married you and these issues too, and they became our issues and we learned together how to get around them. So teamwork is another lesson that you can learn from this as well. And also, you never let it scare you from trying again, because how many people would have these things happen to them and say, no, real estate, I'm not doing that. I'm going to now invest in
gold
or
hog futures,
manufacturing of bobby pins.
Well, you know, I think one big takeaway is that the fundamentals, if you're investing and the fundamentals are sound, then you can rest easier at night, right? So what are the fundamentals that we didn't invest in with these first few, these disasters, right? Well, we were investing for appreciation.
Right.
And that's dead as a vehicle.
And I will also point out, it's not like me, spotless credit, married you, you know, sad sack. Like, I had this condo in San Francisco that we've talked about many times that I was in the red in as well. In the same time we got, so both of us had made mistakes and we're trying to learn from them.
Yeah, that's true. And so, okay, so not investing
I'm a jerk too.
Right. I'm not going to say that. You're not a jerk. So investing for appreciation.
We're both jerks, honey.
Investing for appreciation. That's dead as an investment vehicle. Like, I like to say, it's nice icing on the cake if you can get it. Great. But that is dead. And that's what I was investing for. I was banking on the idea that I was going to build this property for, you know, I don't know, just round numbers, $100,000.
Right.
And would sell it for $150,000 in Fort Myers. Or 110, I think, was what I was going to buy it for, or do the rehab construction, and then we were going to sell it for 150.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a no-brainer, we thought, right? Because everything was just going up and up in appreciation, and there's demand for these properties. And as you heard on the podcast with Rod Cleef, who was just recently on, and he was talking about his disasters. He was in Florida, and he was buying along the coastlines, and he ended up having like thousands of properties that he ended up going belly up on because he was buying for appreciation. So that's one big takeaway. Make sure the fundamentals are sound. And what are the fundamentals? Well, make sure that you're buying below market value if you can. And make sure that you have that it's cash flowing. You're investing for cash flow. That's the whole point of this podcast. And if that is true and those things are consistent and you've got a great property that's producing cash flow well above your leverage point on a property, then the fundamentals are sound. And what are other fundamentals? Job market. you know, people living in the property have a job. The local economy is strong, and that's where we invest, right? Where we invest near hospitals. So we've got nurses that we rent to, long haul truckers, the manufacturing companies, the U.S. Postal Service, like jobs that aren't going anywhere. They're consistently, even in a down economy, those people aren't losing their jobs. It's the A-class neighborhoods. It's the luxury places, the speculative land stuff that you need to worry about. Those are the problems, and those are the fundamentals you want to make sure are consistent and avoid the bad ones.
That's right. So hopefully this has helped you to, just learn to bounce back if and when things don't go your way, you know, which inevitably in life they might. Just try and take everything as a learning experience and see how you can, see a brick wall and either bust through it or go up and over it or go around it. It's, you know, nothing is truly the end of the world.
So to wrap up, I know you were saying, well, what happened just this week? And just this week, we're hoping to get this finally wrapped up with the lawyers, right? Did you mention that?
Yes, I think I did.
Yeah. So, yeah, this one lingering piece of Florida mess that I had to deal with from many years ago, we finally came to an amicable settlement, and hopefully this will be wrapped up and done. But this, you know, this albatross, it's amazing. It's been so long ago that the foreclosure that was on my credit report has now gone because it's past 5 years.
Right.
So has come and gone, and this was still lingering out there that
because
I had to deal with.
Because the banks will sell this note to someone who will buy it up for pennies on the dollar, hoping that they can chase you around and, you know, settle it. So they may have only bought the note for like $5,000-$10,000, but they want to then, so the bank had the original note for like 200 something, right? And then they sold it, got some of that prop, maybe they got half of that back. So they still had a note worth $200,000 on you, on your name. And this is another lesson that we learned that we wished that he had not purchased this in his own name. Had he purchased it in an LLC, they wouldn't have been able to freeze your bank accounts, right? They could only have reached out for what the LLC was worth. So whatever other property was in that LLC would have been at risk, but not your personal bank account, because they can continue coming after you because it's in your personal name all the way up to our kids' college savings. That's sort of, my father once learned that lesson the hard way with a business loan that was in his name. So and the lender said, I'm going to come after your kids' college savings if you don't like pay this up. So that's terrifying. So we learned that the hard way. We are going to settle this in our personal name and never do that again. But then also the point I was trying to make, I got on a tangent, was that these lenders probably bought it for $5,000-$10,000 thinking they could get like
30,
40, 50, right? And so they're going to just try and do the best they can. But they will make money on it because these people who we are now paying were never out $200,000. They were never even out the amount that we're going to pay them. But this is the way it works.
Right. So they're going to make some money off of me. But I've got, you know, again, you've got to just deal with it. Don't bury your head in the sand. And you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have things that get in your way, these hurdles. But it's how you bounce back from them that matters.
But if you think about how profitable our turnkey investments are now, then you can feel better about that because we paid that money for that lesson. You know, that's the only way you can really stomach it. Otherwise, when we write that check, it's going to feel too crapola.
Right. I mean, our properties that we buy now, our rental properties, the fact that we know that we're getting a high ROI every month, that high return on investment every month, and that we've got them rehabbed, rented, and cash flowing, and we can go on vacation, no bank, no creditor, nobody can come take that away from you. Like doing those things to make sure those things are in place, then you're building your own legacy. You're building your own future.
Right.
So
you empower yourself. Look at the place where you feel the most powerless and empower yourself in those places.
Right.
Stare down your dragons. Slay your
beasts.
Whatever you need to.
Right.
Live your best life.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. If you would like to book a call with our team and you would like to take action on getting into the real estate game and start making positive passive income in your life, just book a call with our team. We'll jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes. We'll learn what your investment goals are, how many properties you would like to acquire, what kind of passive income you would like to achieve for your family. So all you need to do is just go to our website. It's just our last name, morrisinvest.com, morrisinvest.com. Click on the book a call tab, and you can actually watch a video there. We have a lot of great testimonials from people who worked with us. Plus, you can see us walking through some properties and all that kind of stuff. So you can see what we do in the flesh. And we will be back here tomorrow with another episode of Investing in Real Estate. Any parting words of wisdom?
No, sir.
All right.
I said live your best life. How can I?
You can't top that.
That's Oprah's gold.
Live your best life. All right, go out there and live your best life, everyone.
It's a Freudian slip if I've ever heard.
Bye.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10/1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.